Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history podcast created by me, Professor Greg Jackson. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We love Willie Anderson Jr. here in town. He's my favorite Houston Texan. I am unabashedly open about that. I think Willie Anderson's great. I think his personality is great, and he's becoming a great player right in front of our very eyes. The trade that got him here back in 2023 was a big source of conversation around the league. The feeling was the Texans may have overpaid to move up and draft a non-quarterback at 3, moving up from 12 to 3 and giving up a second-round pick, high second-round pick in that draft, and then their first-round pick in the next year's draft. Steve Palazzolo, formerly a Pro Football Focus, does a podcast with Sam Monson. They both worked together at PFF back in the day, laid out the draft night view of the Will Anderson Jr. trade on a podcast this week.
The problem is 3 for the price of 1, essentially. What would you have gotten at 12, at 34, and then next year's first rounder? And at the time, next year's first rounder, we're like, man, the Texans aren't even that good.
Yeah.
That might be a top 10. That's Marvin Harrison Jr. So we're trying to concoct these scenarios. We knew Marvin Harrison Jr. was coming out a year from now. And we said, wait, you might give up 12 and 34 and Marvin Harrison next year or whoever else you get in the top 5. So the Texans kind of bet on themselves. And yeah, that pick became like 26 or 27 the next year. Good job there.
He's understating, I think, Steve, there just how high people thought that pick was going to be that the Cardinals got from the Texans. They, you know, they do mock drafts like the very next day after the draft is over, Seth, for the next year's draft. You couldn't find one that was being done for the 2024 draft the following year that didn't have the Cardinals pick from the Texans being 1 or 2. Couldn't find. Everybody thought the Texans were going to be trash again the next year.
And I can remember the thing that was driving me nuts, not even as a Texans fan, but just as a person that actually pays attention, was how many people who should have known better saying, like, authoritatively and saying, everybody knows the Texans are going to be the worst team in the league next year. Mm-hmm. Almost like it was a mathematical truth or something. That was their source. They cited everybody. Everybody knows the Texans are going to have the number one pick. And I'm like, go through every single year. It's hard to pinpoint who the worst team in the league is going to be.
Yep.
And like, it's as hard to do as it is to pick the Super Bowl champion in some ways. So that just offended me just on how wrong. If you pay any attention at all, it's usually not that cut and dry. But then beyond that, right, that was still the big part that you could monitor. And it was fun for us that next season because you slowly started to see the Texans draft pick go below the Cardinals pick.
Yeah.
Because remember, that was the whole thing. Oh, they gave up their own pick and that, oh, it's so stupid.
They had the two picks they had was Cleveland's pick and the Texans pick.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, well, they better have given up that Cleveland pick. Cleveland's going to be a playoff team. You know, Deshaun Watson, you know. And you're absolutely right. It was so fun watching that Texans pick continue to sail into the mid to high 20s on all the boards. You're absolutely right. Steve Palazzolo is a convert, though. He said the Texans won the deal.
Here's the way I would look at it. I always say 3 players is better than 1. I think it would actually be tough. Now, if you went with the actual players that were picked at 12 and 34, it's 2 Lions, Jahmyr Gibbs, Sam Laporta, and then next year it was Darius Robinson with the Cardinals. You can make an argument that Jahmyr Gibbs and Sam Laporta added up are more valuable, better than Will Anderson. You can make that argument. And that's my argument normally when with the unknowns. With the unknowns, it's normally give me the 3 mystery boxes over the 1 certain thing, which is Will Anderson. However, you would be hard-pressed to find 3 combinations of players, 3 players that would actually equal the value of Will Anderson using my own homespun value metrics. It would be very difficult to find the exact right players that the Texans would have taken at 12, at 34, and then the next first rounder next year that would add up to be as good as Will Anderson, you know, at least in the ballpark. So right now, as critical as I was at the time, I'm saying this looks like a win for the Texans.
Okay, this is a fun exercise. And look, the Texans probably weren't going to take Jahmyr Gibbs and Sam Laporta with those two picks. The way the Lions wound up with both of those picks in the Paris Johnson trade that the Cardinals ended up moving up from 12 to 6. The players that were on the board at 12, if the Texans had just stayed at 12, Seth, and there was no Willie Anderson Jr. trade, these are the top, I'll call it, five players that were on the board. These are the five players that got picked from 12 through 16. Jahmyr Gibbs, Lucas Van Ness, the defensive end out of Iowa, Broderick Jones, offensive tackle, Georgia, Will McDonald IV got picked by the Jets, defensive end out of Iowa State. That might have been the guy. They love Iowa State kids. Emmanuel Forbes and Christian Gonzalez, two corners, go 16 and 17. Do you have any feel for, like, if the Texans are taking Will Anderson as an edge rusher, maybe it's those two defensive. I'm trying to figure out who they would take. That, yeah, if I knew in an alternate universe they could have had Will Anderson,
no,
I would feel good
those,
about.
Yeah, none of those make me feel that much different.
Yeah.
And including the, you know, Sam, I think Sam brings up the players that the Lions drafted, and that's a good haul of players,
yeah,
right there.
Yeah.
And Jahmyr Gibbs, for one, I don't know if Jahmyr Gibbs would still have the ability to walk right now if he had come into that
behind
Texas
that
situation,
yeah,
behind that offensive line.
Yep.
I guess you could say the same thing about C.J. Stroud.
Yeah.
He was struggling to walk off the field in the Chiefs game.
He was.
If you go the other direction too, and even say if the Texans had, if they had, the guys that were taken between the third overall pick and the 12th pick where Jahmyr Gibbs went, like, the only guy that really jumps out is Jalen Carter.
Yeah.
And I still don't, like, that's not, the value between 12 and 3 in that draft, I think Will Anderson is head and shoulders above everybody except arguably Jalen Carter. But Jalen Carter on the character side of things or the leadership side of things,
yeah,
is drastically different than Will Anderson. Because
100...
it was the reason they traded up for Will Anderson, it wasn't just the playoff. It wasn't just the film evaluation. It was the whole package. It was his leadership. It was his personality, everything else.
I would add to that, I agree with you. I would add to that that look at next year's draft after that. There wasn't a defensive player taken until the 15th overall pick. I think they were looking at that too. Like, okay, we're trading these picks and next year's first rounder. This guy, we think, is better than anything coming out, not just in this draft, but the next draft. We're not going to have a shot at getting anybody that can have the impact Will Anderson Jr. is going to have coming off the edge in the next two drafts. So I think that factored in as well. Texter points out, and we'll play Will Anderson audio here in a second. What's funny, you know, Paolo Zolo's talking about how they get that Texans pick, that first round pick in 2024. It's going to be a top five pick. They might end up with Marvin Harrison Jr. from that pick. The irony, Texter points out, they wound up with Marvin Harrison Jr. with their own pick because they sucked so bad. The Cardinals.
Yeah.
That's fun.
The pass rusher that went at that was available right there that would go next was Lucas Van Ness to the Packers.
Yeah.
He went 13th or 14th. That was a guy that I was really having a hard time seeing why people were so excited about him.
Yeah.
The difference between Lucas Van Ness and Will Anderson is vast.
It's
and
big.
Especially against the run. Lucas Van Ness, everybody kept saying, like, ooh, look at how good he is against the run. And I'm like, you're just saying that because he's a white guy. I don't. What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, that's not, no, he's not.
Yep.
And that's what I've seen of him in the NFL is that jibes. He's not much against the run.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, seriously researched, hard-hitting history podcast told through entertaining stories. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get to Will Anderson Jr. and some audio from an opponent of Will Anderson Jr., actually a former teammate at Alabama. It's going to get you excited. First, here's Will Anderson Jr. This is from a couple of weeks ago at OTAs on his growth since being drafted by the Texans.
Like I said, my coach, he's done a phenomenal job, Coach Rod. He's done great of just putting together a whole presentation for us of all the sacks that we missed, the missed opportunities that we could have did, hitting the ball the wrong way, hitting the elbow the wrong way, reaching too high, and getting a penalty, stuff like that. So, like, we left a lot of sacks out on the table, and that's what I'm talking about, going back to being precise. Like, how good can you be at the process of attacking the throwing arm? How good can you be at taking the ball away, getting a strip sack, picking it up, taking it to the crib? So, like, those are the things that we want to start putting into our bag and finesse moves and stuff like that, taking our game to the next level, especially for me.
He's just the best.
Well, it's cool because he always had a really good get off, and that was apparent in his rookie year, but he had to refine everything after he crossed the line of scrimmage. And last year, the focus was at the top of the rush. When you get up, you know, to the level of the quarterback, what are you doing to get separation and get to the quarterback? And he made vast improvements in that last year. And now it's almost like you're working your way through the whole process. Okay, now when you get to the quarterback, how are you poking the ball out? Yep. How are you finishing the play?
Yeah.
And I would expect to see, just like he did last year, I would expect to see a lot of improvement in that regard.
Okay, so that's Will laying out how he's grown as a player. This is J.C. Latham, former teammate of Will Anderson, first-round pick of the Titans, high pick for the Titans last year, playing tackle. And he's on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast, and they're asking him about going against Will Anderson. J.C. Latham thought he was getting Alabama Will Anderson when they went against each other last year. He learned he was getting year two NFL Will Anderson.
Probably the only guy who can practice just like the game, like unconsciously. So like going against him, I was like, okay, I know I can block this guy the game. Like I've blocked him well enough in practice. And I get to the NFL and everybody's making it like a really big deal. Like, hey, you're going against Will. Do you think you can block? And I'm like, absolutely. Like he can show you the tape. I have the tape. I have the money from it. You know what I mean? And we get to the game and that's when I was like, yeah, this mother. He's gotten so much better. Like, he always had a Katie for, like, going one with the ball, like, coming off with the ball. And he wasn't as good as he is now compared to college because, like, he would get flat for it, you know. But in the league, like, he's mastered that so much. He uses his hand at the top of the rush so much better. He has a lot more counters that he does now than he did in college. He's not just trying to bully the lineman. Like, he's learning how to get around them. He's learning how to pursue, use the right angles, the five line and all that. So, yeah, that's what I was like, yeah, this motherfucker.
It's like, yeah, it's different.
Yeah.
Who got the better of who last year?
Oh, he definitely got the better of me, for sure. I'm not finna sugarcoat it or whatever.
I got to look up after that. I got to go watch that first Houston game from this year after the show, because I'm just looking at – I just want to look at the PFF grades of each, which a grain of salt with PFF grades, but this is notable. J.C. Latham averaged pass blocking. He averaged 67.8 as a pass rushing grade on the season. By far, his worst performance was that first Houston game with a 29.2.
That was the game where they sacked Will Levis eight times and still found a way to lose the game. That matches the eye test when it comes to pass protection in that game, for sure.
You know what? And I'm going to look forward to that because yesterday I went back and I watched some of the Texans' offense versus the Titans.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I was so angry, Sean. Yeah. I was so angry.
That was the game where the linebackers were just chilling in the middle of the field waiting for the cutback.
Or
right?
just chasing things back door that they shouldn't. The linebackers turned into J.J. Watt.
Yeah, they broke every rule.
Because they didn't, because they knew. They knew that there was nothing. They knew that the running back was not going to be able to get to the edge. So they just started shooting every gap. And it was so bad. It was so bad. Oh, my God, Sean, it was so bad. The plays in which... It's not just the offensive line, everybody. I know people want to the tight ends, the wide receivers. Mixon wasn't making the right decisions because he didn't know what he was going to see. Yeah. It was so ugly. It was atrocious. It was so bad.
The Latham cut that we just played feels like watching a friend play a video game where they're playing Madden on like the high school level. And then somebody flips the switch to like the all Madden level, and they're like, "Whoa, this is way different."
You know what? It's kind of like in high school too, when some kid goes through his growth spurt over the summer, and he comes back, and all of a sudden the kids who are already full grown men, and they were like the badasses their freshman year. All of a sudden, they're like, "What? Hey, I was supposed to do that to you.
Yeah,
you're a nerd." Yeah.
All right, Payton Pendergast with you. Final segment coming up. We'll find out what the guys on In the Loop got going on. Question of the day. There was a massive transaction in the NBA yesterday when it comes to a team sale. The Lakers went for a value. They sold a chunk of the team that basically values the team at $10 billion. Which Houston team, if any, is most likely to sell in a seller's environment like this, the professional sports team here in town? We'll talk about that. And we'll talk to the guys on In the Loop coming up next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history podcast created by me, Professor Greg Jackson. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.